answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to keep in mind that the CDC director and the staff were not elected by the American people. President Trump was elected by the American people, and one of the main mandates was to clean up the deep state operations, and the CDC has been at the epicenter of a deep state failure. Look at their failures during the pandemic. Now, President Trump has the ability to hire and fire those that serve under his administration. If this new director isn't capable of delivering, I'm glad that he's realized that early on and is making the necessary changes. Those who resign in protest probably are resigning because scrutiny that's much deserved is now being applied to the CDC.
That is exactly true. And the point being made directly is the American public did not elect the CDC director. That position is appointed by the president. Right now, of course, RFK Jr. is serving as Health and Human Services Director. But these other directors that have been around are trying to call him as dangerous in a New York Times guest essay. And the New York Times also stated, "We ran the CDC. Kennedy is endangering every American's health." Again, they claim they're the ones responsible for America's health. But what did they do during COVID? They quickly signed on to fake science. When you were told to follow the science, at the same time, on the other side of their mouth, they were saying there are more than two genders. That's not science. And what they were pushing on us at that point crippled our nation and did irreparable harm for a long period of time, not only to the nation, but to our children. Not just by pushing drugs on them, but by keeping them out of school and basically frightening the hell out of them. And parents rightly were unsure. COVID was a brand new event for us. Trump was in office at the time. He relied upon Dr. Fauci. And then later, as we get deeper into it, we realize all of this came through a lab in Wuhan, China, which the CDC had been funding. And Dr. Fauci was constantly making sure NIH money got there to keep it running. Whose side was he on? He was on his profit side. Thanks for joining us. Hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, September 2nd, 2025. And please continue to bear with me. I'm fighting a sinus allergy. Who knows what the hell it is? It's that time of year. Excuse me. But we're going to get through it. And some of the meds I'm taking might slow me down occasionally, and I will lose my track of where's my bus? It's going to be Joe Biden all over again. Welcome aboard hour number two. And with Larry Connors USA, despite my voice suffering, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will learn more and know more by the time we finish this hour than you do right now. We do it in every hour. And right now we're focusing on the CDC. We're also going to end up focusing on crime across the country and what's being done or not being done and how we allow crazed people to get guns, not one, but two or three. And there's so many warning signs that even I would agree they should not have a weapon. And I'm staunch Second Amendment. But that also means we need to protect the Second Amendment rights for those of us who are law-abiding. We will get into that as we move forward. You are listening then to Tennessee Senator Hagerty reminding the general public, you do not elect the CDC. You voted and elected Donald Trump. And he is, of course, in charge of everything. And he put RFK Jr. in to be his Health and Human Services Director. Not everybody was liking that. They don't like him. So 9 former directors of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention penned an op-ed that appeared yesterday condemning Health and Human Services Secretary Kennedy's leadership after he fired the CDC director last week. And they claim that RFK is endangering every American's health because he fired somebody you liked or somebody you thought should be there. Of course, I want you to know that without that person in position, our nation's at dire risk. If we were at a point where one person in the CDC, if one person was the difference between our nation surviving and dying, we got into a bad spot to begin with. This is all politics. So that's what they're playing. But the way they wrote it for their op-ed in the New York Times, 9 former directors and acting directors, this is very much like those intel officers that came forward signing onto a document saying Donald Trump is a Russian asset and the laptop is full of Russian propaganda. And I still insist not one of those who signed on that document saw the damn laptop or anything on it other than what was made public. They made that decision because another intel officer came to him and said, hey, will you sign this? We want to get Trump. Well, hell yeah, I'll sign it. So what they wrote in the piece over the weekend, here's exactly what it says from these 9 former directors. After he had ousted CDC Director Susan Monterez last week, less than a month after she was confirmed by the Senate. Of course, Trump had put her up for that position. But apparently she was not going to be a team player, and she was going to go back in the CDC and start going back to the ways Dr. Fauci was running it. He didn't run it. He ran NIH. But the leadership that was there. Anyway, they write what the Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has done to the CDC and to our nation's public health system over the past several months, culminating in his decision to fire Dr. Susan Monterez as CDC director days ago. So I guess they want to put the blame on Kennedy, not on Trump. Quote, is unlike anything we've ever seen at the agency. And unlike anything our country has ever experienced, oh my God, we've never seen a CDC director fired. Well, welcome to a new world. The Trump administration tried to oust her last week at that time, but her lawyers pushed back. Other top CD officials have resigned in recent days because they have disagreements with the Trump administration over its vaccine policy. In their op-ed, the former CDC directors, who served under both Democrat and Republican administrations, pointed a number of decisions by Kennedy, saying they are, quote, I'm so sorry my voice is going like this, saying that they are unlike anything we have ever seen at the agency, including canceling investments into medical research, the move to replace members on a key vaccine advisory committee. I'm not on the inside, so I don't really know how that might be true or false. All I do know is that Senator Bill Cassidy, Louisiana Republican, who chairs the Senate Committee on Health, Education, and Labor, called on HHS last week to indefinitely postpone its Vaccine Advisory Committee meeting scheduled for September 18. He said we need more time to see what we are doing. He claimed that CDC has issues, has problems, including COVID-19 protocols. He said we need to look at the priorities of the agency. If there's really a deeply, deeply embedded, I would say, malaise at the agency, we need strong leadership. We go back in there and we execute President Trump's broad ambitions. NBC tried to make it appear that this is all Trump. It's all Trump. Well, that doesn't really play out very well.
First, on the firing of the CDC director, first, sure. We'll replace her. And then also, overnight, the White House said that she did not align with the president's agenda. Dr. Menares' attorneys say that she refused to rubber stamp unscientific, reckless directives and fire dedicated health experts. What specifically did she do wrong?
Look, what I will say about this individual is that her lawyer's statement made it abundantly clear themselves that she was not aligned with the president's mission to make America healthy again. And the secretary asked her to resign. She said she would, and then she said she wouldn't. So the president fired her, which he has every right to do.
Yeah.
It was President Trump who was overwhelmingly reelected on November 5th. This woman has never received a vote in her life, and the president has the authority to fire those who are not aligned with his mission. A new replacement will be announced by either the president or the secretary very soon. And the president and Secretary Kennedy are committed to restoring trust and transparency and credibility to the CDC by ensuring their leadership and their decisions are more public-facing, more accountable, strengthening our public health system, and restoring it to its core mission of protecting Americans from communicable diseases, investing in innovation to prevent, detect, and respond to future threats. That's the mission of the CDC, and we're going to make sure that folks that are in positions of leadership there are aligned with that mission.
Carolyn Leavitt, White House spokeswoman, nailed it. Nailed the NBC reporter. Well, what about this person? I mean, they got fired. They wouldn't leave. They don't align. Well, Trump is right to put the people in place that he wants. And she's absolutely correct. This fired CDC director got not a single vote from the American public. Trump did. And Trump is doing everything he can to protect our nation when it comes to disease, and also part of that would be crime. Chicago Labor Day violence. Before the holiday, they had, by the way, almost 60 shootings over the Labor Day. But before the holiday, a Chicago citizen called out Mayor Brandon Johnson.
Our tax dollars to go, Michael Rod Reed, you said to take Trump to court. To protect these illegals. You said you're going to spend our tax dollars to take Trump to court to protect these illegals if they try to come in here in your district. And then you said they all of y'all in cahoots with each other to do it. Okay, so now we about to make y'all famous. We're going to let all y'all constituents know who y'all ratting for, that y'all wouldn't spend our tax dollars to protect illegals and to get them legal services.
Trump issued a social media post warning Governor Pritzker, better straighten it out fast or we are coming. And then Governor Pritzker went after Department of Homeland Security Secretary Noem and everyone else.
What we won't do, however, is engage in what is a federal effort. That is to say, they have their job, immigration. We have our job, which is to fight violent crime on the streets of our city. And by the way, we're succeeding at that
job.
Not. But when they bring people in and don't coordinate with us, they're going to cause enormous problems.
Oh.
So this is dangerous. They shouldn't be doing it. It's anti-American. It's un-American. And I would tell her to maybe check herself for what does she really believe.
She believes in America and protecting American citizens. And you want to stand there and claim the real danger we have is they're not coordinating with us. They didn't come and get our permission slip. They're not coordinating. We're still waiting to see what Trump does and when regarding Chicago. We could see an answer by Friday, if not sooner. And Newsom, you've been served with notice as well. You could be next. You got to keep in mind these leftists, they talk about safety for you, but they don't do a damn thing to make sure you are safe. And in fact, if they had their way, every illegal that's been deported would be on the streets continuing to run rampage wherever they want. One of them in particular, Abrego Garcia, remember that case? Department of Homeland Security Secretary Noem.
And the one thing that we will continue to do is to make sure that he doesn't walk free in the United States of America. This individual was a known human smuggler, a MS-13 gang member, an individual who was a wife beater, and someone who was so perverted that he solicited nude photos from minors. And even his fellow human traffickers told him to knock it off. He was so sick in what he was doing and how he was treating small children. So he needs to never be in the United States of America, and our administration is making sure we're doing all that we can to bring him to justice.
Good. This is a thug, but he's gotten so much publicity and so many people standing around to pat his back and hold his hand. His wife had reported repeatedly, he's beating me, threatening me and the children. But then once it became a national cause celeb, she stood with him. She's probably thinking there's money to be made here. That's crass of me to say, but I don't know why she would stand there, why she doesn't call him out. And then you get a member of Congress saying, this is a constituent of mine, I'm going to protect them. He came into the nation illegally, has committed numerous crimes, and would continue. And they are still fighting to keep him in the country. If you're looking for any common sense there, I'm sorry. There is no common sense. The only thing I would recommend, and I've said this before, and I'm going to continue to push it. If you really believe the thing to do is not send him out of the country, then you go down to the courthouse and say, I will sign and say, I take responsibility for him. He can live with me and my family. Is anyone out there on the left willing to do that? Anyone? Mueller? Coming up, the school shooting. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington. Always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John, Bill and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Bill. John Bill Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Connellville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Connellville.
This is News Talk STL.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of high. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What we should do is we should look at the early warning signals, the signs. One of these shooters at a recent school shooting had 24 interactions with the local law enforcement. I find it hard to believe that an individual goes from getting his mother to sign a change of name certificate, age 17, and then just a handful of years later is mowing down innocent children in a church pew during a Catholic mass, and nobody realized there was a problem. That's what we have to address to save the next children from the next atrocity.
The words of Senior White House Director for Counterterrorism, Sebastian Gorka, talking about the shooting that took place last week, killing children when they were in a mass at their Catholic school. Two of them dying in their pews, others injured. All of them traumatized, probably for life. And what happened? Immediately the left started crying out, gun control, gun control, and also calling out lies as to who the shooter was. Because it doesn't fit their narrative to say it's a transgender activist. They don't want that. And they don't really want a white person. I mean, they want a white person to be involved, but not transgender. They want to blame it on the MAGA movement. And that's exactly what leftist actress Rosie O'Donnell did. She falsely claimed on her TikTok that the transgender-identifying person who shot fire at that Catholic school of mass was, in her words, a Republican MAGA person. She put that out before many facts were known at all. To her, it just made sense. Well, if you want to give her some credit, she later admitted, I failed to do due diligence. I made an emotional statement. And she continued to add, I assume the shooter, who had identified as female and changed his name from Robert to Robin at the age of 17, had been an NRA-loving kind of gun people. Just like that. And then she added, I assume, like most shooters, they followed a standard MO and had standard, you know, feelings of, you know, NRA-loving kind of gun people. Anyway, the truth is I messed up, and when you mess up, you fess up. I'm sorry. This is my apology video. I hope it's enough. It's not enough. It's not enough because the apology and the retraction never catches the attention the first statement does. And when Rosie O'Donnell started proclaiming from her perch on TikTok, the shooter was a MAGA person, an NRA person. I don't know if the guy's involved with the NRA or not. But she totally wanted to move past that it's transgender, and she wanted to really make it a MAGA person, period. The New York Times basically led an article with pointing out that activists are pointing to the attacker's gender identity. Are you listening? Activists are pointing to the attacker's gender identity to falsely portray all transgender people as prone to mental illness and violence. No, it didn't. Not one time did I say all transgenders are prone to violence. I will say all those who are in transgender circles are dealing with a mental illness issue. That I think they are. Being mentally ill does not make you a killer. But the New York Times wanted to jump on the bandwagon. They did not call the shooter MAGA. But they said, look at the people out there that are trying to portray all transgenders as prone to mental illness. That I will accept. And violence. I won't accept the second part of it. But they just want to go ahead and put it out as a fact. And USA Today, trying to make sure you understand, if you had any doubt about it, the way the USA Today reported it, Minneapolis shooting, 2 children dead, 17 injured, and a Minnesota Catholic school attack. And then they have an interview with a doctor who treated some of those there. And then down in it, they talk at a family of a slain Minnesota lawmaker calling for stricter gun control. You knew that was coming. Another one saying, we all need to come together. Yeah. And a father talking about his daughter thought she might die. I understand all of that. But then you also have in the midst of the coverage from NBC is that basically, the shooting had nothing to do with being transgender. But they don't know that at this point. They just say it. There's an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old who got killed. Nothing's going to bring them back. But what we do need to do is, like Sebastian Gorka said, when you get someone that's obviously unstable, and the manifesto he left behind clearly states, very confused, wish he had not been brainwashed or brainwashed himself into going through transgender. They needed help, not a transgender surgery or sex change of any type. That is where we have the left continuing to push gender-affirming care. It's gender mutilation. And the wreckage you leave behind can lead to something like this shooting. And again, I'm not saying all transgenders will be going out to kill. But they are emotionally distressed in numerous ways. They thought they were distressed and upset, didn't understand life and what was going on simply because they hit puberty. But you go inside and you start messing with them with various drugs to block puberty in one fashion or another, you're truly messing with them. There's some excellent pieces that the Federalist had put out that I want to spend some time on as we go into the last segment. I'm going to give you a headline off of one. And this is written by John Daniel Davidson for the Federalist. It is time to eradicate transgenderism from public life. Could this person have not even been transgender and gone on and shot up a school? Yes. The fact that they were on so many mind-altering and body-altering drugs Did it contribute? More than likely. Scientifically proved? No. But when you put people to a certain stress point and make them even more confused, mentally unstable, you're going to get that. John Daniel Davidson says, we do not have to tolerate a demonic ideology that destroys lives, tears families apart, and keeps producing mass shooters. Now, he's taking a stronger position than I am when it comes to transgenderism creating mass shooters. He said that shooting was quickly followed by the unsurprising revelation that the shooter, a 23-year-old man, identified as trans. And John Daniel Davidson then writes, it should be obvious by now that transgenderism, the entire industrial complex of medical interventions, legal actions, social affirmation, political rhetoric, now attached to what was once called gender dysphoria, is a serious threat to public safety. And as such, it should be outlawed and eradicated from public life. And he added, to be clear, I'm not saying individuals who believe they're trans should be eradicated, but the gender ideology that affirms them in their delusion, that's what should be eradicated. And men and women suffering from this crucial delusion should have our compassion. And every effort should be made to bring them back to the reality of their biological sex. But that's not what we're getting from public policy. It's not what we're getting from, quote, leaders of science. This child needs to be sexually changed to be happy. And how much of it leads to more unhappiness and maybe death?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545. 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545. 689-0545. Or go direct. PRIGlobal.ai. PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more five-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend, Bob Leslie, and ask about the Gain and Retain Plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There's a very interesting personal story written for The Federalist by Brooke Brandington, or Brandon, I believe it is. And she said, I know transgenderism is fake because I know what the before looks like. She said, when we talk about transgenderism, we often talk about the process and its effects about cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, about mental health problems, suicidal ideation, and about life-altering surgeries that mutilate bodies and leave patients with compounding health problems for years. When we talk about transgenderism, we don't often talk about the before. She is correct. She said, when I was 14, I had a lot of friends who've since gone on to transition over the course of the intervening 10 years. See, I didn't know it at the time, but I was surrounded by the before of transgenderism. The consequences of its life-altering effects were still in the process of being kicked down the road. That's exactly correct. I mean, this transgender talk had been around for decades before it really began to surface more. Bruce Jenner, obviously, was the most outspoken and most prominent figure. But there were a lot of other surgeries taking place in various hospitals, university hospitals, and we were making big money off of it. And so was Big Pharma, getting these kids hooked on puberty blockers or whatever else. That was going on for a long time before we actually realized, my God, what have we done? How did we overlook it? And maybe it only came to your household when your child or a friend of your child started down that road. 2 years ago, I was in South Carolina. I was introduced to a friend, a woman introduced me to her friend and her daughter. And the mother proudly said, I don't recall the child's name, let's say Lily. Lily is so excited we're going to L.A. next week. I said, well, great. What are you going to do? See Hollywood and all of that? No, I'm going to get surgery. My first thought was, you look healthy. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm in the wrong body. I need to go become a boy. And mom is standing there beaming, hugging her tightly. I understand the mother's love for her child, regardless of what they do with their lives. You don't have to like what someone does, that you can still love them. That's the same as if your child becomes a mass killer. Still your child, you raise them. It's hard to separate the love you had for them and raising them. But there is a difference between what they were and what they become, and more importantly, what they did. The writer of this article for The Federalist continues, at 14, I considered myself a Christian, but in a detached 14-year-old way. I think most of us have been there if you're Christian, or any religion to that extent. Attending a public school allowed me to easily believe the lies that love is love. Yeah, we went through that in the 60s for sure, didn't we? And adding that homosexuality was being attacked by old-fashioned traditionalist conservatives because they were fueled by hate. I had an uncle that turned out to be gay. It broke my dad's heart that his brother was, but he still loved him. I have several homosexual friends. I don't know how they got to where they are, but they're adults. They made a decision as an adult as to how they wanted to live their life. They're not about preying upon children. They're about just living their lives in their own separate world. Occasionally interlinking with others. The author of this article continued, "It would take several years before I understood homosexuality as denying God's natural order. But I was 14, so I had a long way to go before I learned that lesson and saw the corrosive effects of LGBTQ lifestyles. Many of my friends identified as bisexual or some version of gay, which usually means they kiss people at parties, regardless of the other people's sex. Chalk it up to them being young, dumb teenagers." And she adds, "We lived in a suburban community in the Midwest. About half their parents were divorced. Typically, the families were middle class. Most were awkward but sweet, funny kids. We played video games, listened to music together. We loved to meet at the park, go for a walk. Basically, they were socializing with each other, not because of sexual interest, but just friendship." And she adds, "There were more guys and girls in our friend group, but we didn't really think about that. Our first homecoming, there were only about four of us girls getting ready before pictures in the dance." And she said, before, "I often find myself in the trap of looking at old photos from then. Many are nostalgic for high school, even if it had been embarrassing and difficult. Older folks sometimes look back at those photos and reminisce about their friends who died in the decades since graduation day." Said, "I graduated from high school 5 years ago." And adding, "Most of the people I knew back then are no longer with me. Not because they died, but because they have fallen victim to the LGBT cult." Again, this is an author writing a personalized story inside the Federalist. Adding, "Most of the friends I made at age 14 now identify as either transgender or non-binary. They exist in a nebulous realm of non-gender, denying their biological realities in favor of a victimhood status." She said, "I knew these kids, and these kids were rambunctious, like to fight, make silly jokes. The girls were artsy, amicable. But as they grew up, they pretended the traits that aligned with their biology were irrelevant. They were in the wrong bodies, they had decided." Many of us, at some point in our life, have cousins and maybe even brothers and sisters, but let's say cousins because you might not be that close to them all the time. And you're great playing with each other. You're friends. But as years go on, maybe distance, maybe differences in interest begin to change, and the relationship is not the same. Not the same between you and your grandparents. Not the same between you and your parents. Sometimes not the same between you and your brother. Many of us would have to admit, if pressed, "I spend more time with one of my friends than I do with my family." Sometimes it's job-oriented. Sometimes it's just a preference. Sometimes it's geographic, I should say. But we all change. The problem is when someone comes in and tries to force a change and talks kids, juveniles, into doing horrific things with their bodies because they say, I did it and it's great. But they may not really believe it's great. Or they do today, they might not tomorrow. How many mistakes did you make growing up? You look back and think, boy, I wish I'd done that differently. At the time you enjoyed it, it was fun, whatever, and now it's a different day. Well, those are memories. But when it comes to changing your body and restructuring what God created, you've gone far past simply remaking and redoing. In the meantime, Donald Trump continues to insist to Governor Newsom, if you do not get control of your state, I will be sending in troops. Well, a judge is now saying you're not going to be allowed to do that. You cannot be the police of Los Angeles and every other city in L.A. Well, we're going to take a closer look at that. But before we do, I'd like for you to hear from Louisiana Senator John Kennedy and his view of Governor Newsom, who has his different view of policing.
I welcome help. I welcome federal help. I welcome more state help. I welcome local help. Come on down. Look, I've watched Governor Newsom for years. And to quote one of my favorite columnists, he's put the funk into dysfunction. Every year that he's been governor, crime and violence has gotten worse in California. Why? Because Governor Newsom is a member of the socialist wing of his party. Because Governor Newsom has refused to get up off his ice-cold, lazy butt and do something about it. Because Governor Newsom thinks that talking about crime, he's only doing it under pressure, is racist. Because he thinks that cops are a bigger problem than criminals. But I want to give him credit. Maybe he's had a conversion, but he's doing the right thing by sending in California State Police. And, you know, even a blind chicken finds a mealworm now and then.
So at least Newsom realizes he does have an issue. So he sent in state police. And you know why he's doing it again? It's under pressure of Trump saying, I will send in the National Guard. Well, now there's a ruling from a federal judge. Be no surprise to you. 52-page ruling. U.S. District Judge Charles Breyer, who had been appointed by Clinton, warned that Trump appears intent on creating, quote, a national police force with the president as its chief. So he's barring the Pentagon from using National Guard members and Marines from performing police functions like arrest and crowd control, I should point out. What they're looking at, Trump's L.A. deployment would be an operation overseen by Defense Secretary Hegseth. They want to point out this violates a domestic law enforcement by the military, the Posse Comitatus Act. The Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 does bar the military from enforcing domestic laws without explicit permission from Congress. Justice Breyer said, despite this restriction, the Pentagon already has, quote, systemically used armed soldiers to perform police functions. So it bars the Pentagon from ordering, instructing, training, or using the National Guard, which is currently deployed in California, and any military troops in the future to be deployed to California, engaging in arrests, apprehensions, searches, seizures, security patrols, traffic control, crowd control, riot control. It goes on and on. And as they're saying, he put his ruling on hold until September 12th to allow the Trump administration to appeal. And yes, there will be an appeal. But for now, the ruling is a win for California Governor Newsom, who brought the lawsuit. He said, I'm capable of making things better. But you haven't been. You haven't been. And what do you ask for anytime in the midst of a disaster? Federal help. That might include National Guard or Marines. Could be a wildfire disaster. It could be a wild crime disaster. It's still a disaster. We have too many on the left that just want crime to continue at the cost of American lives. All right, class, what did you learn in this second hour despite my hoarse voice? I hope you made good notes. As always, I appreciate you listening. I certainly hope to see you back here tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.